This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Larry speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now here's your host, Larry Allen.
My guest today is General Bill Tuttle. General Tuttle is the chairman of the Procurement Roundtable. We're going to be talking about what's going on with the Procurement Roundtable these days and topics like the acquisition workforce and other things and how they're advising the Obama administration senior officials on different aspects of acquisition. But before I introduce General Tuttle, I want to remind you that we have a couple of special segments coming up here on Off the Shelf. If you've been listening to us, you know we've been calling for nominations for our Excellence in Partnership Awards. Well, now the awardees are out. And I'm pleased to say that in upcoming shows, we're going to have a couple of EIP award winners with us on Off the Shelf, talk not just about their specific accomplishments, but about the things that are going right generally in the world of government procurement and acquisition. So make sure you tune in for those shows. We try to do that every year. I want to thank you all for sending in your nominations for people for the Excellence in Partnership Awards, as well as for coming out and attending that event. It's always a good time, and we have some very good award winners this year that are very deserving of recognition. My guest today is also deserving of substantial recognition. He has a long career in the world of government acquisition. As I mentioned, he is General Bill Tuttle. General Tuttle, welcome back to Off the Shelf.
Larry, it's great to be here one more time, and thanks for hosting this. I think we all listen to your program and get a lot of benefit from it. Let me start with a bit on the procurement roundtable first, in case there may be very few listeners of this program who don't know what the procurement roundtable is, and I suspect it is few. But we're a group of officials in the federal government mainly. Some are working now, some are not, but in fact, most are, it turns out, as I was trying to find a successor for myself as chairman, and people are awfully busy. But even those that you would have suspected would have long since retired are not doing that. But we've been in business as a nonprofit organization since about 1984. There are 46 of us who are retired federal executives either out of the administrations or out of the Congress. And we have a great interest in improving the quality of acquisitions in the federal government, which goes to the heart of one of our major topics, always concern, this enduring concern, and that is the acquisition workforce. As some of you will remember, the workforce at the end, particularly in Defense Department, at the end of the Soviet period in the early 90s, went through a horrendous decline. There was a term of opprobrium used against the folks who in the acquisition workforce by one member of Congress was they were shoppers, and we need a lot fewer shoppers was the
right. I remember that.
Yes, luckily that particular congressman is no longer with us. But nevertheless, sometimes the attitude is there. But that's so the workforce shrunk quite a bit, and at the same time, of course, we discovered the value of service contracting. We did it in particularly in the Defense Department. We did it first during the Desert Shield, Desert Storm period, early at the very same time, and then later in Bosnia, and certainly we've just gone completely relying upon it in the operations that we've done since 2001. So acquisition workforce is a major issue. Then the second issue, I'll get back to that. Second issue is audit, where there are some concerns about the a change in the attitude, I guess, more in the culture of audit, rather than being a teaming relationship. There's much more of a hands-off of the ongoing acquisitions. There seems to be a freezing up of advice to program managers that when there's a dispute between between auditors and program managers and contracting officers, very often that there's a freeze. In other words, the feeling is that the inspector general will always side with the auditor, and that you had better stay on board with them, in spite of the fact that the federal acquisition regulation doesn't require that. A little bit more on that. We also are engaged in talking a lot about service acquisition. That is the both in the non-defense agencies and defense, that is the overwhelming increase in acquisitions have been in the services sector. In defense, for example, it's well over 50% now of the acquisition dollars, and we have some major difficulties with service acquisition, as certainly a lot of the contract surveillance results that have come out of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars has testified. The Commission on Government Contracting is still wartime contracting is still in being. The famous Jack Gansler Commission that criticized the Army rightfully for its lack of contract oversight, as well as good contract formation are examples. And the last subject we're continuing to engage with is competition. You know, what should it be? And service acquisition has, the growth of that has posed some new dilemmas on that.
So just a few things on the plate of the folks at the Procurement Roundtable. Certainly some of those, if you're a regular listener here, aren't necessarily a big surprise. Acquisition workforce, as well as services acquisition. And in fact, as you pointed out, General, a lot of DODs, well over 50% of DOD's acquisitions are in the field of services. That was, I know, a surprise to Dr. Carter, the Undersecretary for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, as well as his staff. One of the things that you highlighted there, audits. It's been one of the things that we've been thinking about in the coalition land, that the ascendancy of audits and the role of the IG in day-to-day acquisition is one that really kind of has a chill on the partnership relationship. But obviously, it's more pronounced or more easily seen anyway on the side of industry. You know, no industry company really wants to get nabbed. But really, it has kind of a chilling effect on contracting officers as well, doesn't it? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that's what we're hearing. And several of the Procurement Roundtable directors are, of course, engaged with both law firms and their own consulting firms, and they teach like Dr. Ralph Nash does, who's long been professor at George Washington. And so the information is sort of coming from a number of sources, but it's, as you say, it's a chilling effect of this sudden turn to reliance on audit, as they're always right, and the contracting officers are not.
Yeah, and that's a kind of poses kind of an interesting challenge, no matter which side you're on. We're talking this half hour on Off the Shelf to General Bill Tuttle. General Tuttle is the chairman of the Procurement Roundtable. When we come back, I'm going to talk to the general about a new program that the Procurement Roundtable is putting forth. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Almost 70 years ago, a well-known Connecticut native named Homer Cummings had a dream to start a Washington law firm devoted to working at the intersection of America's business and government. As Attorney General for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he was an integral part of the New Deal. In 1956, Gilbert A. Cuneo joined Cummings' firm to begin what was quickly to become the largest and most successful government contract practice in the country, earning him the title, the Godfather of Government Contracts. That same firm, McKenna, Long & Aldridge, today is recognized by Chambers USA as a Tier 1 government contract law firm, continuing its preeminence in the field through its offices in Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Denver, and San Diego. With the oldest and largest government contracts practice in the United States, McKenna, Long & Aldridge still operates at the intersection of business and government. They produce solutions by working with their clients on creative and flexible strategies that ensure success. Their attorneys and professionals include former members of government, Congress, and its committees, so they know how Congress thinks and they understand how Washington works. There is no aspect of government contracts with which they are not familiar. In this uncertain economic climate, clients trust them to deliver solutions at costs that represent real value. From one new deal to another, they have remained at the forefront of government contracting. McKenna, Long & Aldridge, a name
and
you can trust.
And welcome back to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, your most humble host here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM at this precise time every week, where we bring you the unfathomably loyal listener in government and industry, the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement. I want to thank you for tuning in to us today and every week, and remind you that we welcome your feedback here on Off the Shelf is always welcome and actively sought out. If you have a question for my guest today, a question for your humble host, or an idea for an upcoming show topic you'd like to see us cover, you know where to reach us by now. Our email address here at the station is offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. That's offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. Keep those cards and letters coming. We respond to each and every one of them. My guest this half hour is General Bill Tuttle. General Tuttle is the chairman of the Procurement Roundtable, an advisory group of some 48 former senior procurement executives in government, providing insight to all sorts of acquisition policies. General, as we went into that first break, we were talking a little bit about some of the focus areas of the Procurement Roundtable. You highlighted services acquisition and the role that that plays in what DOD particularly is doing, as well as the need for enhanced competition. Can you give our listeners some in-depth additional information about what the Procurement Roundtable is up to in these two areas?
Well, I think our concern is really with the criticisms of the effectiveness of services acquisition. As we've looked at that, we see the not so surprising influence of a acquisition workforce that is rebuilding. It is rebuilding, but there's a dearth of experience in this. And at the same time, we have this, as I mentioned earlier, and a large increase of services acquisition. DOD is up to $212 billion in 2009, 57% of the total acquisitions in the Department of Defense. It's a similar large number, particularly the complex acquisitions long-term, like information technology. And Veterans Administration and a number of other agencies have had a very difficult time getting what they wanted out of it. They spent a lot of money. They're over schedule. They're over cost, and been roundly criticized. Of course, OMB has almost a moratorium on these large complex acquisitions. But we find a lot of it has to do with the inability to articulate requirements. That is a difficult. Getting the whole team together is one of what we think is one of the solutions to it, from the people who are not the statutory acquisition workforce, but are nevertheless the ones that approve requirements, and many times are the ones that look after the delivery of the requirements, the CORs, COTRs, and so forth.
That's an interesting point, General, and it's one of the things that I thought we'd talk a little bit about today on Off the Shelf. I'm glad you brought it up, and that is, so oftentimes when we talk about the acquisition workforce, the tendency is to think about contracting officers, and certainly contracting officers and contract specialists are a very important part. They're the backbone of the acquisition system. But if you're going to have successful acquisitions, particularly in today's environment, you need to have buy-in and involvement at every step of the process with other people, don't we?
Yeah. Well, the other people influence it, like the determination of what it is the organization wants to buy is not the statutory acquisition workforce
right.
responsibility, and that is often the great trap. DAU, which I have a close continuing relationship with as chairing its board of visitors, has at the board's request made a report of the last year of work on service acquisition training. And what they have found is they have, nearly 40 different examples of where they've gotten the teams together. Everybody that has a stake in the acquisition They forced them to come together. They forced them to go through what they call a seven-step process of agreeing on the requirement and what are the objectives, going down in a very common sense way. It isn't any magic, but it's also not written. See, unlike systems acquisition, where we have a whole plethora of DOD 5,000 manuals, workbooks, you name it, and training, we haven't done this for services acquisition in defense. And I don't think VA has started as doing a lot in its intern academy.
Right.
But it isn't much in the rest of the federal government. So it's no great surprise that we don't have formats or templates that you can groups can use in going after and help the contracting officer who has to work with this.
Right, and it's really not just putting the whole requirement together, although that's vitally important. It's also after the award. Now, some people can argue back and forth whether or not any part of government acquisition is particularly sexy, but undeniably the one that gets the attention is the pre-award phase leading up to the actual commitment of government funds and a project. It's the stuff that comes after the award, the project management, keeping an eye on it, making sure that the government's interests are protected and that the outcomes are what you want them to be. That's part and parcel of it too, isn't it, General?
Absolutely. And the team has to stay together through what we would call the life cycle of the acquisition.
Right.
I mean, they have to be involved in the whole process of reviewing the results, because many of these cases, it's very difficult to articulate exactly which way we're going right now. In fact, Ralph Nash has an article he has done. I don't know if he's ever published or not, but did a couple of years ago on competition, and he says what we tend to do, we compete proposals to do work. Unlike in goods, where you can see the final product, you know what you're buying pretty much, even though there may be some uncertainty about the engineering changes.
Right.
But in services, many times on these complex long-term acquisitions, as he says, they're utterly proposals, and it's almost like a game of liar's dice, you know, as to how you go through this thing. And why do we compete that? I mean, we spend I will vouch for the fact we spend an enormous amount of money. I've been on you know, competitive teams in industry the last few years huge cost, and there aren't very many concrete objectives you can see from the ordering piece.
A lot of cost, a lot of time, and your point, I think, is a good one, that the team of doing the acquisition needs to stay together through the life cycle, which can be difficult to do when you're talking about multi-year acquisitions. Not just the fact that they're multi-year, but you also have other acquisitions coming up behind the one that you're working on today that you have to get out the door, and that's oftentimes how you're judged professionally, is what you get out the door, not necessarily how it plays itself out.
So that's the leadership issue, which is central to all of this more effective acquisition. The leaders, the political leaders, the military, whoever they are, have to understand that their responsibility is to deliver results, not just deliver some inputs like how many contracts have been let.
A succession of contracts. That's exactly right. My guest today, General Bill Tuttle, the chairman of the Procurement Roundtable, with his usual terrific insights. When we come back, we are going to cover the latest project for the Procurement Roundtable in terms of what they're proposing to do in the world of acquisition training. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What do successful small, medium, and large federal contractors, including two-thirds of the top 100, have in common? Membership in the Coalition for Government Procurement. Successful federal contractors know they get the information edge they need on developing acquisition trends and an effective voice to protect their interests from coalition membership. For nearly 30 years, the Coalition's been the trusted voice of industry, working with federal officials to promote common-sense procurement. Know what the best know. Join the Coalition today to protect and grow your company's business. Contact the Coalition at 202-331-0975 or visit their website at thecgp.org. That's 202-331-0975 or thecgp.org. Don't be left wondering what will happen to your federal business. Contact the Coalition today.
We are back here on Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. My guest today is General Bill Tuttle. General Tuttle is the chairman of the Procurement Roundtable, someone with a long career in the world of government acquisition. As I mentioned, the Procurement Roundtable has some 48 retired senior government procurement executives. Not all of them, as the general pointed out, are permanently retired. They just may be retired from government service. And they provide all sorts of advice and insight on major acquisition policy issues of the day. General, I've teased the audience a couple of times now about a current initiative of the roundtable. Let's talk about it now. You all are currently discussing the need for an acquisition university. How would this work within the current framework of the Defense Acquisition University and the Federal Acquisition Institute, the two main arms right now that train government acquisition professionals? You also alluded, General, in the last segment that the Department of Veterans Affairs has its own academy that does some training for its own folks. How can an acquisition university, what need will it fit, and how can some of the things that are existing today contribute to what an acquisition university should look like?
Well, I think the issue is, and I'll say right offhand, we're not sure yet. We're working our way through how they would fit, because DOD obviously is the elephant in the room. It graduated 140,000 people last year out of its courses.
Wow.
So varying courses, combination of resident and non-resident online courses and team groups. In fact, that's the, as I mentioned, those services acquisition. That is a major commitment of change that we're seeing over the last 5 or 6 years. Gone more toward the team, project management teams, getting all the people together, and so they learn together. Because the problem is, we found, as almost in all instruction, it's no great surprise, that the further away from the instruction you get, the more decay occurs. And so the idea of sort of just in time, and that is, a team is formed, you have a purpose, okay, you go through all the issues that relate to that particular either services or project, a weapon system or whatever acquisition. But because it is so large and it is so well funded, relatively speaking, particularly
yes.
Since the legislation of about 2 years ago that beefed up, recognizing the dearth of acquisition talent.
Right, that went to FAI, right.
Yeah. And so FAI and the civilian agencies have just not had that kind of money or that commitment. Defense has a law, Defense Acquisition Workforce Improvement Act, which has it tells who is in the acquisition workforce, sets up standards for them, and that hasn't quite gone into the non-defense agencies yet. So they're just uneven. So our view is let's find a way to take the benefits from DAU and how it's advanced and try to get them into the civilian agencies. And so as a way, without DAU doing it, but with a larger, at least the idea is a larger entity that is a federal acquisition university that would encompass DAU, and it would encompass like VA's Intern Academy, which is an excellent move forward. But it's a very small group in VA.
Right, right.
I mean, not the 140,000, which
couple
is
a couple of dozen.
That's right.
Right.
I mean, about 30, 40, 50 in the program, 3-year program at one time, and it is impressive. I've been to visit, sat out, talked to students, and so it's really impressive. But it's also fairly expensive. But VA has a unique funding mechanism for it right now, which other agencies don't have to that extent. So it's a question of how you resource, but also how you would make the curriculum development and other things, which are probably common in 80% of the cases between defense and non-defense. You know, how you would make those techniques available, and that's what we're trying to work out. Dave Drapkin is our primary author right now, and he's getting comments from the rest of us, as to how that might work, including exposing where it's likely to be the disagreements. You know, because defense is very jealous of its standing and doesn't want to doesn't want to be seen as funding the non-defense agencies in doing this.
So right.
That's typical of all government organizations.
Well, right, but I think the general idea for some greater cohesion and consistency across all government acquisition, defense and non-defense, is a good one. And we were talking a little bit offline about Kathy Turco, the chief, the Associate Administrator for government-wide policy at GSA, and how she would like to really plus up the work that's being done at FAI so that it's more on a par with what you're talking about here. In the end, regardless of what side of the procurement table you sit on, government or industry, improving the skills of the acquisition workforce is just going to be a net benefit to everyone. General, let's talk in the time we have left a little bit about insourcing and outsourcing. Yeah. Tough for contractors these days to figure out which end is up, with seemingly different messages coming from the administration and Congress. How does this debate impact acquisition? What are you all seeing in the procurement roundtable in terms of the disruptions these types of things might cause?
Well, the disruptions are the volatility it puts into the process of for companies and for government, for the services, for the agencies in deciding which way to go. You know, why develop a cadre of people who understand how to do service contracting if you're going to keep everything in the house?
Good point.
So that's one of the issues, and so you tend to not do that, as we have proven over and over the last decade or so. But one of the numbers that is astounding, the Defense Business Board, in a report to the Secretary, which was also contained the recommendation to close Joint Forces Command, do some other efficiencies, but it says that there were 340,000 military members who are doing work that is not inherently governmental. That is a large number of our roughly 2 million involved. So the question is, there are people that are doing it, and we all kind of understand that military is more expensive because of the life cycle that you have to go through than contractors, but certainly not with contractors that are not in the contractors who are answering to well-formed contracts and well-managed contracts, but there are obviously exceptions.
Sure.
But what we're seeing is this idea of we're going to insource more, sort of meant to replace the contractors we had doing inherently governmental work, for example, in contracting, where that has existed. But it's been a flood, you might say, and that is I think a regrettable sort of thing, because a lot of civil servants are doing work that is not inherently governmental and could be competed. And I think that we need to look at, but it is a problem, and we need to get a way ahead.
That's right, and I think that's something that we'll be seeing come out the next couple of years over Congress. I think that we've maybe seen, my personal view is, we've seen the high watermark of insourcing, and that we're going to get to right sizing depending on what the best operation is and the best opportunity for who does the actual work. We hope that happens. I want to thank very much, though, my guest today, General Bill Tuttle. General Tuttle, the chairman of the Procurement Roundtable. General, thanks so much for coming back and visiting with us on Off the Shelf.
It's been a pleasure, and thanks for hosting us.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30. Only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.
WFED Washington.